going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with yet another WTF.
Prime time!
I am here joined by Gog Dog.
Hello!
They can all hear you. They can all see you. You're in the spotlight. What you got to say?
Hello!
Following up on that, we're also here with Aaron.
I don't have nearly the creative lung capacity for that.
Creative lung capacity is my new favorite term for the evening.
Yeah.
Thank you. Creative. My job here is done.
Good man. And also joining us is Omegas Prime.
It is a good day as a woman brought a head in a box for me.
That's my Monday night. Every Monday night. Head in a box. Head in a box. We are here actually to talk to you about heads. We're going to talk to you about Prime Times. I almost called the show Prime Time. That's egotistic. It's Transformers Prime. Out of his head, the follow-up to last week's episode, the part two, if you will, to this mid-season uproar. And right off the bat, I had a very important plot point I wanted to bring up to discuss at the start of this. So Miko's all like, hey, Autobots, it's time to play basketball. And they're playing basketball with, like, a giant 3-ton metal ball, and she's standing up right next to the backboard of the basket. So all it would have taken was one moment of poor hand-eye coordination to cream her in the face and paste her against the wall with the giant metal sphere.
How about her just falling asleep as a ref? Do you see Bumblebee traveling?
Yeah, and
see him dribble the ball one time?
No, he was walking. He was walking completely, and I was sitting there going like, you know, does Miko even know what basketball is? And I'm not sure she does. But that was the really important thing I wanted to bring up. Did anyone else have any thoughts on Miko ball, as you might call it, where you can travel and there's one hoop and apparently you just walk up to the hoop and take a shot? Anyone?
Apparently we're the only ones that care that much about these.
Yeah,
I'm sure there'd be a fake basketball. I'm sure there's going to be a whole thread now of people wishing that that ball did miss the hoop by just a few feet.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I am a safety conscious sportsman, so that really caught my eye, and I felt I had to bring it up. that's my little soapbox. So, Gog, do you have a point from the episode you'd like to discuss?
Let me see, because I kind of like to start it off when I have the opportunity of something that happened in the beginning, just so we can ease into it. But but I'm just gonna jump straight into Megatron, I think.
Boom.
Megatron. He was a bit of a man on a mission, I would say. Even to the point of, like, purposely missing opportunities so he could make a beeline straight for Starscream.
Yep.
Number one, he was in the base, and granted he wasn't part of Starscream's mission to locate the Autobot base the previous few times he tried to do that, so he might not have even have thought about it. But he did definitely just ground bridge out, get the shard of dark energon, come back, ground bridge to the Decepticon warship. So it's still quite possible the Decepticons have no idea where the Autobots missile base is located. After that, Optimus Prime, his biggest foe and rival, laying there on the field, doesn't care. He drags Starscream off by his head. Also when he got his body back, he just tells the Eraticons, handle them. I got business. Literally did not even care. I don't think that he even considered that the Eraticons could take them out.
No, he didn't care.
I don't think he cared. I think he didn't care. All he cared about was finding that little bastard, and it's all he could be bothered with. Optimus laying on his back, didn't even bat an eye. He's like, you're coming with me, Starscream.
It was fantastic. Just the music and the looming shadow as he stands up, and you're just sitting there.
My first
thought was just like, you know what? I bet he's not going to do a single thing to those two Autobots. Starscream is effed.
And yeah, and it kind of bugged me at first because I'm like, why? You have the Autobots right in front of you. Why would you tell the Eradicons to deal with them? You know that they're not going to. And then as I watched, I realized he doesn't even care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He literally doesn't care. He just wants to know where Starscream is. And that's all he cares about.
Well, yeah. It was even to the point where he basically kind of saved Prime because Starscream was coming in for almost a kill shot type thing, and then Megatron crashes into Starscream and takes him back up to the ship. It was beyond just... It was almost the opposite of apathy, or on the other side of apathy towards what happens to the Autobots. It's like, no, we'll deal with them another time. I'm going to come and facepalm pick up Starscream and give him some fun.
Yeah, the whole goal of today is Starscream. What are we going right. to do about this?
Well, there's two ways you could look at that, because it's either, okay, yeah, he is furious at Starscream. Understandable. We also just got over a whole episode where Bumblebee just made him realize how much he wants to kill Prime with his own hands.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that kind of mixes with the Starscream thing, because he sees Starscream about to do it, and it's like, you almost took my body and my Decepticons away. You're not taking that away, too.
Yeah, but he could have, though. That's the thing, is Prime was laid out, and Megatron was right there, and he didn't even look at Prime. He's like, whatever, you're coming with me. So,
It was a really cool moment, I think. That whole final climax of the episode was really exciting, I think. Just the way it was put together. I guess to branch off slightly, like you have Prime literally running. We were just talking about how Prime was like Superman in this show. He drives head first into a solar powered melting gun that was going to melt an entire polar ice cap. And like that moment alone, I was like, okay, yeah, that's Transformers Prime, Optimus Prime. and then Starscream having that marvelous line delivery where he's just, you know, he's gonna friggin' shoot Prime in the face with a missile, gets speared by Megatron, and then a bit of dialogue, goes to run, transforms, Megatron just grabs him by the rear tail fin and throws him at his own ship.
Yeah.
It was fantastic, that whole sequence.
I think there's a fanboy in me that was just happy to hear the Frank Welker Megatron just furious with Starscream again.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in so long.
Mm-hmm.
And very legitimately, not Revenge of the Fallen, kind of like, hey, I'm pretty mad at you. Smack. And I can be granted that wasn't Welker Megatron.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where this goes to, and I think we should probably save the preview for last just in case people avoid those. But I would certainly like for the first time in a long time to really delve into the meat of that short preview clip we got.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, which it does kind of lead right off of this, but I think it was a little, refreshing to see, cause like we had all talked about in the 5-part intro mini. Like, Starscream didn't start off as Starscream-ish. Like, he seemed to be pretty underhanded and enjoying the fact that he was in charge, but when Megatron came back, he certainly didn't necessarily agree with everything that he did, but he was even going so far as to try to save him from the blast and telling him to get out of there before he got killed. Mm-hmm, instead of just like, oh, I'm going to seize power. But we got to see Starscream kind of grow comfortable with that power, and then when he realized that Megatron was still alive, he liked the power so much that he was willing to make sure that Megatron didn't come back.
Yeah.
So we got to see like the growth of where this lust for power came from, and then subsequently and consequently him start to undermine Megatron because of that. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes now, I think, because it's not just an established, this is what Starscream is. This is kind of, at least in this continuity, this is the first betrayal. So Yeah, and again, we can talk about that more when we talk about the preview.
It totally legitimizes as well that age-old G1 question of why doesn't Megatron just kill Starscream? As in this continuity, Starscream, you know, may have been, you know, what, you know, his usual personality, but he was not an outright treacherous dude until, you know, there was a proper setup to it. At least that's what was implied to me by the five-parter. So I was digging this whole growth. And I was ready for Starscream to literally just get his head blown off on screen at that very moment. Like,
yeah, I was ready for, was that the end of Infiltration or Escalation when Megatron finally meets Starscream face to face and just basically, oh, Megatron, you're here. Okay, now you have no insides.
Yeah, he puts a hole through him, pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, you know, given the level of bot gore we've seen in Prime, I was ready for Starscream to just get some kind of hideous mutilation done to him right then and there. But it was a very cool moment. It was a really great payoff, I think. They did a good job of making this Megatron return a real menacing and exciting moment, I think.
Yeah.
That was kind of the crux of the episode. So I guess we're gonna go at the lettuce and the mayo now of the sandwich. We've kind of delved through the meat. But Aaron, have you got anything you want to bring up?
Yeah, I liked that we actually get some of Raph's story. Granted, it's kind of secondhand, but
yeah,
you know, because it starts out with, you know, Raph not being able to get to school because Bumblebee is his only ride, where I was thinking, okay, where's his mother? But then it turns out that he has like a huge family, at least a couple sisters and a cell phone picture's worth of something that Ratchet didn't seem to care about. But so he has a big family. So it kind of explains why it's like, yeah, okay, I get forgotten about because there are so many other kids there. Because he says, like, nobody, you know, he'll talk and talk, but nobody hears him, but Bumblebee always listens, I think was approximately his line.
I know this is, you know, kind of improper, but when he showed, you know, when he's like, here, let me show you a picture, I was totally ready for him to just show a picture of, like, his family in, you know, bloody meat chopped up form on the floor of his kitchen with him just holding a chainsaw. Well,
you couldn't quite see what was on the screen, yeah, and like, Ratchet didn't really look at it. It was like Ratchet had family problems himself, so I'm not going to attach, but
just from our discussions, I was just ready for his cell phone picture to just be this horrific revelation of some kind of, you know, traumatic murder event. But
keep in mind the picture was just, you know, their bodies, you know, above the waist, you know.
Yeah, they're all actually propped up and stuffed. That's what his living room
is. They're on sticks in his bedroom.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I keep going to dark places with Raph, but.
But, and then also, he also kicks in our other thing. If he has no idea why he can understand Bumblebee as well, he just does. And that's why he's going to do everything that he can to help his buddy.
Yeah.
Tier.
And that also kind of made me go, like, I really hope we can delve into this a little bit more later on.
It's nice that they acknowledge it because generally means there is some idea behind it.
Because it is one of the last real big hanging threads that I think needs addressing, right, is this whole Raph Bumblebee thing.
And depending on how the next few episodes go, because they do a good job of linking things, I think they can have Raph and Bumblebee in a moment have more family background stuff,
mm-hmm,
and kind of have a key of Bumblebee dealing with PTSD or something of having, you know, an evil tyrant stuck in your brain.
Yeah.
And go from there.
That's the worst kind of PTSD.
Although it seems like Bee's speech thing is Bumblebee like that, because Megatron spoke through Bumblebee as speech.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up as a discussion point. I thought that was a kind of amazing moment.
So it's not like the movie Bumblebee where it's because of damaged hardware. Apparently, yeah, this is a software limitation.
As I took it, that was Megatron actually speaking physically through Bumblebee, which I thought was an amazingly awesome, creepy moment of like,
yeah,
Bumblebee speaks, and it's Megatron.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm guessing and I'm hoping that they'll have some time in future to develop their relation a bit more on screen. Mm-hmm. Omegas, have you got a bit you'd like to bring up?
Touched on it a little bit, But this is something that just stuck out to me being the 80s cartoon guy. I loved having an old school Death Ray plot for this episode.
I was actually gonna mention that too. It felt extremely like nicely G1 of the Decepticons stole a lens to power a giant solar laser gun to melt the ice caps.
Yeah.
And apparently the lens component by itself has a tracker.
Yeah.
What? What?
Yeah.
What?
He just put the GPS chip in the glass.
It's tracking glass. Don't you know tracking glass? Government uses it all the time. Tracking glass.
What?
You know, tracking glass. It's Fowler special. Just tracking threads.
The best part of that, though, was, have you seen Decepticons wearing hula skirts?
Yeah.
I had to rewind that because I'm like, what the hell is he talking about?
It's Fowler, back in form, just showing up and making everything ludicrous. Like, I even love that Prime's reaction to him was like, yes, Agent Fowler. You ever seen Decepticons in hula skirts? Like, get to the point. I got some tracking glass.
Doesn't even give him the dignity of just calling him by name. It's Special Agent Fowler, again.
Yeah, in a tired, annoyed voice, as I'm sure he's had many calls like
what?
This before.
Look, I just got over the plague. Now you're calling to complain that the Decepticons are doing. Can't you handle anything yourself?
They've stolen some of my tracking glass! Making a laser beam to shoot the ice caps! Of course.
But we had Fire in the Sky back in G1 days. It almost felt like that episode again, a little bit. We're carving into the ice to get Energon.
Yeah.
It was between that and fully kindling the Megatron and Starscream relationship that we know and love, seeing Prime back in action. This was kind of a campy episode in that, but it did it in a way that I bought into it. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if camp's the right word for it so much as just that classic spirit of, like, we've got the heroic elements, the comic booky elements back in. This is even not the right word for it. I was going to say the pastel elements, but it's not really the pastel elements. But yeah, you know, like, yeah, the bright bits that kind of make you remember the old sort of simpler cartoon style. We've got our superhero, supervillain is the supervillain's treacherous sidekick. It's very throwbacky. I did enjoy that.
And the kid that comes along for the ride.
That's right, to the Arctic.
Because we got that again.
Yeah. And poor Ratchet with that nice little moment of the pause and the shoulder slump.
Yeah. Although he did get it another, I needed that.
Yep. That's his sub catchphrase.
Yeah.
Well,
what's his catchphrase then, if that's his sub catchphrase?
Well, I don't even know if he has really a full on catchphrase. That's why I'm only classifying it as sub for now. Doesn't come up often enough to be a full on one. I wanted to bring up just the nature of the possession of Bumblebee. I really liked how they delivered that with the pupil dilation effects.
Eyebrows too.
Oh yeah, when his eyebrows get mad.
Yeah. Cause that creepy, angry Bumblebee was sufficiently dark.
Yeah, like
I was like, oh, Bumblebee, he's the happy. Oh my gosh.
Oh, wait a minute. It just hit me. If Bumblebee doesn't have vocal processors, how was Megatron able to speak through him?
Right.
That's what we meant.
Are you catching up to us?
Yeah, Aaron mentioned, like, is it...
Oh, I guess it didn't hit me.
Is it hardware or software? So Aaron's saying it might be a software thing.
I zone out when Aaron speaks, so...
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, deal with that for a weekend.
Well, that's why, to me, it was kind of... It was like the Soundwave speaks moment I'm always talking about. It was like, you know, the Bumblebee speaks moment, only it's Megatron. So it's a lot creepier. But I liked Evil Bumblebee's look because it was pretty intimidating. Like, when you take that Bumblebee and then it's like, all right, make his pupils tiny and then make his eyebrows mad. And you're kind of like, now he looks kind of scary. I guess for some people more so than before if they were already freaked out by his weird-looking face. But I was enjoying that just because it was also, again, it's a lot less subtle, but it was a great way to get across the Bumblebee's been taken over moments without making it too unclear or just making him like hunch over and acting strangely, like just a little the facial thing. Again, I love the facial animation potentials in those Transformers Prime models.
Yeah.
And again, a very unsubtle way it was shown was at the very beginning when Ratchet's like, all right, Prime, follow the light with your eye. And you can see the pupil moving around. And I was like, again, that's really nicely natural. I really love the eyes on all these robots. They're so well done. Gog, have you got another point you'd like to bring up?
Poor Ratchet. Ratchet got his ass beat this entire episode.
Yep.
By Bumblebee over and over and over and over and over again. Like, he stood up, like, no, not Dark Energon, bam. Bumblebee, you can't do that, bam. I won't let you resurrect Megatron, bam. I'm going to pull this tube out of the chest. Oh, wait, that's what you want me to do. Okay, I did it, bam. And so I always kind of had this impression that Ratchet was, because he's a pretty big dude. In my impression, my first impression of him when I saw his animation model before the show even started was he was a doctor by choice, but the dude could get down if he wanted to. And I don't know if I feel that way anymore, because this dude was getting laid out in single punches, and I think his place is certainly in the science bay.
I was curious.
Well, I kind of wonder if maybe that was because, you know, yeah, it's Megatron and Bumblebee, but it's also Bumblebee there. So well,
that's what I was curious about.
You don't want to, like, jack up your buddy, because not only is he your buddy, but you're also going to have to be the one to patch him together.
But then you sidestep. You don't...
You take it in the face.
You don't get thrown against the wall several times in an episode.
But I was wondering if they were trying to get across that when Megatron was in total control, they were... I mean, this does not fit into any kind of, like, cartoon science all that well, but it was like, when Megatron is in full control, Bumblebee gets Megatron strong.
Yeah.
And that's the way I was explaining it away in my head, because it was kind of odd to me.
But I was like... I guess, because Ratchet did do okay against the Dark Energon zombies, but...
Yeah.
So,
maybe just a combination of the two.
You get Megatron strong, because Megatron is all like, hey, guess what, I'm in charge, so for whatever reason now, you are as tough as I am, so your punches are twice as strong.
Well, it's also the personality of Bumblebee, too. I mean, he's young, he's more kind-hearted than the other Autobots, so he probably doesn't go all out the way Megatron would.
Yeah, like not using his full physical potential.
Right.
I'll put it like this. Like, if that was a street fight and I was in the crowd watching, I'd have been like, oh, Ratchet! And I gotta wait for Ratchet to redeem himself, because if not, I'm gonna talk mad smack to that dude until he mans up. Because even if he doesn't have it in him, you know, he's my boy. Ratchet's my boy. I'm gonna be like, yo, Ratchet, you got punked out, man. You gotta make up.
Like, to his credit, I think it was great that Ratchet did keep getting up and getting his face in it, just going like, no! And then, you know, he got smacked down again. But you can't say he didn't try. I also...
Didn't even bring out the scalpels, though.
Well, that's the point where I think he's like, he's not going to cut up Bumblebee or anything, because he doesn't want to slice up his buddy. But
so in this case, he didn't recommend amputation?
That's right. I also, this is kind of branching off, that I really liked that moment when Bumblebee just walked back through the space bridge and was just holding Dark Energon, and Ratchet's like, what are you, and then Bumblebee just smacks him in the face. It was a nice moment, I thought. There was a lot of real good, just little moments of storytelling in there that I thought carried nicely. Aaron, have you got another bit you'd like to bring up?
Starscream with a plan that seems to work. Other than, you know, the whole Megatron coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, again, a flip on the normal... Yeah, I mean, we were kind of talking about G1 and that type of things before, but it always seemed to be a plan that had three or four rather obvious holes in it, and this one was just the fact that, you know, had Prime do his super crazy trucker jump and going, again, for a cliche fight into the fire type of scene. To make it go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, what went wrong with their plan was that Optimus Prime is Superman and totally just, like, drop-kicked their laser gun.
Pretty much.
He's a god among men.
Yeah.
But it wasn't some, I'm going to, you know, monologue through something or, you know, oh, the only way to stop this plan is with this really big red button that I'm going to set here next to the ground bridge entrance where anybody could touch it if they needed to.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't a giant power plug to rip out of the wall. It was drive through the laser and then punch it.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, I said it before, but that was a really cool sequence. All the same,
yeah,
it was
that was
nicely done.
Even though, how many times have we seen Prime do the fight into something?
It's nice. Like it felt like a response almost to what we were talking about before, of just like, you know, is Prime the Superman of this show? It's yes. He can take a solar flare tracking glass laser in the face and not melt. Granted, he'll get scorched up, but he won't just melt.
Yeah.
Omegas, have you got a bit of the episode that stuck out for you?
We're kind of running low on my list. I just finished it literally like a few minutes before we came on, and I didn't grab a whole lot.
I watched it yesterday!
Been busy.
Well, me and Aaron watched it twice, so how about that?
I watched it once, because I only need to watch it once.
I watched it twice.
You're all small time.
I don't believe you.
I did.
You're all small time duplexers.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
What must I do to win your trust?
If I had $1 million. What else is on your list?
Okay, I was a fan of the battle scene in this episode.
Ah, good.
This is the first time I think we've seen every character in play at the same time. At least as far as Transformers go.
Yeah, like main cast. We're all up to something.
Yeah.
Was Soundwave in it?
Aside from Soundwave, main cast.
Okay, yeah, aside from Soundwave. Soundwave doesn't do battles.
Soundwave is Breakdown. Rumor starts now.
Oh, no. Going to that again.
Of course.
No, I was a fan of the scale of the battle scene. Just because most of the fights we've had in Prime so far have been very, very much group of Autobots against one or two Decepticons, or there's just a single situation going on. This thing was massive. Mm-hmm. From the top of the Decepticon ship to inside to the battle on the ice.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. On all sides of the focus, which made me wonder if that was all part of the that line about the polyhex maneuver thing that Prime mentioned.
Yeah,
which incidentally was a line that I think we had previewed at BotCon, if I remember right.
Yeah, I was waiting for same stratagem to follow it.
Yeah,
which made me wonder if it was the same or if it was just a similar one.
Prime's just gonna bring it up again
just
later.
A trimmed
on.
Up version.
Hey Megatron, remember that polyhex thing? That I did last, of doing it again. Same stratagem.
Yeah. One thing that I did notice in that battle was, man, it must have been pretty anticlimactic for RC to do that giant, like, triple flip midair jump and then have Breakdown just catch you midair and toss you to the side. It's like, don't want you. I'm going for Bulkhead. Like, RC's like, come on. I'm important, too.
Come on. There were three flips, not one or two. I gave you...
See, I waited to the top of my jump to go through my flips. I broke the laws of physics for you.
Where's Arachnid?
She would have appreciated that and then tortured me slightly.
Just slightly. I wouldn't put it past Arachnid. Actually, that was going to be the next thing I brought up, which was an aspect of that fight scene, which was something I'd love to see again. I'm not sure if it was fully intended to come off like this, but I loved the moment where it was kind of like, launch the Breakdown. And Breakdown just kind of like hurls himself at the ice like a missile.
that was like the mother of all belly flops, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really liked the whole thing of them just having Breakdown really coming out as like not just the muscle, but like the weaponized muscle. So he comes down, lands, busts open the ice, and then that bit where I'd forgotten, he friggin' pops a hammer out of one of his hands, and him and Bulkhead have the whole, you know, weapon clashing with weapon, and then the entire pool of ice they're standing on, it gets this clean split down the middle. Really resold me on Breakdown, who I'd been kind of forgetting about over the last couple episodes. I was like, oh yeah, he's pretty tough.
I just thought it was hilarious how he was deployed, because you had Knockout out there going, no, no, Lord Starscream, allow me. Get him.
Yeah, and then deploy the breakdown. Yeah. Launch the breakdown. Really, really is getting me, again, it's getting me so jonesed to grab some figures of these guys. Because I'm getting, you know, they're cementing some nice roles for a lot of these characters. And it's that same feeling I got from back when Animated started. Gog, have you got another bullet point on your duplex viewing list?
Do you want to go into the other stuff that we maybe saved for last?
I don't know. Was there anything? Maybe we should just see
go one more round.
Yeah, let's do one more round before we
head I'll just do two small things, and since I don't think neither deserve an entire segment on their own. But number one, Raph did have a little bit of a heroic moment. He's like, I love Bumblebee, but and then tries to jump on the psychic patch cord. That was kind of brave for the little guy. I mean, I still don't really like him, but I mean, you know, good on your Raph.
At least he didn't plug his laptop into it.
Exactly.
Hack his mind.
Yeah. Like I'll hide behind this corner and hook into the Decepticons' Wi-Fi, and I'll show them.
I'll hack their brains.
Yeah, and I loved. I loved
conveniently USB 2.0 compatible.
I love breakdowns knockouts rather line. Don't the bots seem a little understaffed? I thought that was kind of funny because it seemed like they were like in the middle of a fight, and then it just cuts right to Knockout, and he says that. It's like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Like he's for a moment, wait a second, is there another one of them?
Yeah, it just I kind of wondered if that was probably not, but if that wasn't a little tongue in cheek moment of the fact that there aren't really a lot of robots in the show.
Yeah.
So, if anything, the Decepticons seem to be understaffed, but
it had another one of those good action scene moments too, of like drop the line, Prime crests the hill of the ship, Starscream punches the dude off the laser, turns laser on Prime. Lovely blocking of action scene moments. I thought Knockout was actually pretty good in this episode in that bit where he walks in on Starscream gesticulating wildly to Megatron's lifeless body, and then apparently just kind of chills out there and watches him talk for a while. I think that was near the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a nice little build-up of Knockout accepting the fact that he's going to be Starscream's number two, and so it's going to be interesting to see where his character goes now that obviously Starscream isn't in charge anymore.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to have his own aspirations or if he's just going to go back to just being random Decepticon flunky, or if he kind of got a little taste of the power too.
Mm-hmm. No, it looked like definitely like Knockout was almost the more clever underhanded guy. Just like, yeah, I'll ride with Starscream for a little while because Starscream's, you know, he's got delusions of grandeur, probably going to sink himself. Knockout seems to be a little bit more on the level. Just like, as I said, that moment where he just walks in and he just kind of chills out watching Starscream screaming at Megatron for a while, then kind of goes like, you know, Starscream's like, how long have you been there? He's like, oh, I've been here for a while. No problem, though. By the way, it's Commander Knockout. Aaron, have you got another bullet point?
About the last thing that I had was... RC, did she sound a little bit different to start with?
Maybe
it was somebody kicking in a different voice actor. They did something different.
I don't think it was a different voice actor.
As I was sitting there getting everything fired up, my recording started in the middle of the very opening scene, and I don't know if it sounded different or if it was audio spooling up or something weird, but
I don't think she sounded different. I don't think she had like a different actor or anything, but I mean, there was something a little bit less processed, but it might have just been the tone she was speaking in. Because I kind of blinked for a second, but I was like, I don't know if maybe I'm just hearing things.
Yeah, well, then two of us are hearing things, so.
We're insane.
Yeah. That and no pink.
I forgot to look again.
Yep, the diamonds are again. The diamonds are gone again.
I'm kind of training myself to not
look.
They're
there, they're dark.
They're black.
Yeah. But no, beyond that, that pretty much runs out my list of stuff. Yeah, the only other thing I had was, again, the end run on Polyhex. Apparently they've done it all, and so have the cup-ish reference. Instead of saying, you go here, and we'll do a pincer surprise attack, it's Polyhex 7.
I felt still it was really weird hearing Peter Cullen say Polyhex. I don't know why. I was like, he's not supposed to say that. That's after his time. Omegas, have you got another bullet point left?
Just makes me wonder if Polyhex is just their go-to mission for, you know, giant tracking glass death rays melting ice caps.
Bumblebee, put this in the trash. Pee-wee-dee-poop. Just like on Polyhex 7, go put it in the trash.
That pretty much exhausts my list, actually.
Oh, Polyhex thing?
Polyhex thing. You're mentioning the RC sounding a little odd in the beginning. I think that's just because she spent a whole episode very intense last time and
yeah,
kind of deadpan this one.
Yeah, it's, I think it was
granted,
just good.
It's one of the better lines of the episode, I thought.
Yeah, it was a good line, and I think it really was just like the delivery mixed with the usual processing just made it sound a little bit different.
Yeah. Because later on it sounded fine, it was just that...
A tone.
Bit. Yeah.
With that said, I guess we can move into the thing that would stem from the meat of the episode, which is the preview for the next one. And also, if I think of anything else relating to the meat of the episode, I guess I'll just pepper it in. Pepper, meat.
Pepper. This is the spoiler section. If lemons make your lips pucker, close your ears and walk home, turd. Okay.
So, I wasn't expecting... See, I only watched the clip at the end of the credits, during the credits, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, I had a couple more things that I have read on the internet.
Ooh, okay. I haven't read anything, so I'm out of the loop on that.
Okay.
Like, I just saw the clip,
One is going to make you smile, probably for reasons that you weren't expecting, but we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about the preview first.
Okay, so the preview made me already get pumped up, because I was, you know, at the end of this episode, Starscream getting dragged off by his head. And I'm like, all right, we didn't see something horrific happen to him on screen. That makes me think something even worse is going to happen to him now. So we see the preview, and it's Starscream kind of all pumped up. He's all like, you can't stop me, and because I'm all hopped up on Dark Energon. So I'm like, oh, so for punishment, Megatron's literally just going to use him as a guinea pig and experiment on his body. That's pretty horrible.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he did do it to himself first.
Yeah.
He did just kind of grab it and push it into his chest. And I think he even offered Starscream. Remember, because we were joking around about that, about how he offered Starscream the opportunity to just donate his body to Dark Energon Science.
Yeah.
And Starscream was like, nah, you're kind of nuts.
Yeah.
But it looks like Starscream didn't have a choice this time.
Nope. And I'm curious. I'm curious if Starscream will survive the next episode in One Piece, or even, you know, how the Dark Energon injection, if you will, is going to happen. Is it going to be just rammed into him, or will Megatron go like, "Well, this stuff works best on a corpse," so, and then, you know, corpseify the dude.
Okay, so here we go. So this was episode 14, Out of His Mind, according to the wiki. You know, this may have been shown in other places. I honestly don't keep track of a lot of the preview stuff for the next episode, but I had come across this and I couldn't help but want to talk about it, especially because this apparently is the same episode with Starscream hopped up on Dark Energon. And I should probably look. I'm going to pull it up on my cable box while we're doing this too. But according to the wiki, it says, this is the episode summary. After a ground bridge failure, the kids are flung into another dimension with a reanimated Skyquake. So it appears Skyquake was dead, but somehow, but he does come back, apparently from some effects of going to another dimension. Or perhaps through Dark Energon. Mm-hmm. I just thought about that too. So it may have been, if Megatron's putting Dark Energon in Starscream, maybe they dug up Skyquake's body and stuck some Dark Energon in him as well.
Yeah.
So.
See, but that kind of preview also throws that whole that summary throws the whole preview into doubt. For all we know, that could be the alternate universe where Starscream was the one on Dark Energon, not Megatron.
I'm pulling it up on my cable box now to see what it says, but this is Thursday.
Because when you have alternate universes, it also lets you really play with the previews.
Yeah.
Because you can have the alternate universe where, you know, Raph got shot in the face, and so in the preview you just show Raph get shot in the face, and you're like, what? And then it's like, oh no, but it was Dimension X, not Dimension Y.
Something's going on with our guide, so I can't look it up. Darn it. Ah. Oh well. But, so, yeah.
More Skyquake.
Interesting.
So, do you guys think Skyquake's going to have some speaking lines, or do you think he's going to get full-on zombified and just go all cliff jumper and, like, make noises?
I think before, if they did full-on zombified cliff jumper, I think they should keep it the same way.
Just have him go like, whether or not that actually what happens.
Yeah.
Make noises.
Maybe not just like, rah, rah, but something more.
No, that's the only noise he should make. That's the only noise he should make, is go, rah.
But I think if they established that, they should keep with it.
Now I kind of want to see zombies that all sound like the 60s penguin.
Yeah, I guess we did actually front page this on April 16th. So, like I said, usually for the preview stuff, I usually don't click on it just because I'm going to watch it anyway. So,
yeah, I don't actually read any of our updates about Prime the show because I just want to watch it.
Yeah, same here. But when I had followed a link to something about Skyquake and saw that, I felt compelled to read it, and then I felt compelled to bring it up. But so, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, and my bet would be he gets reanimated through Dark Energon, but the synopsis also mentions something about it being an alternate dimension, so it might even be possible they just see another version of Skyquake.
Yeah.
But either way, it looks like they're finding an excuse to bring him back, which is, I think, is welcome. And I hope he stays at least a recurring person instead of just dies again.
Unless they're going to kill him and then just make that kind of the show's running gag, is whenever Skyquake shows up, he gets resurrected, upgraded, and then killed. I don't know. I could buy that, too.
Oh, man.
Just for that huge dude. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the show has really shaken things up after this episode. We've got pretty much... And this is actually something I just realized I could have brought up, is that this really felt like a full circle closure on the five-parter. Even down to the way that they kept having flashback sequences when Megatron was trying to remember where stuff was. It felt like it had the closest ties to a lot of the events of the five-parter than a lot of the other episodes we've seen. So I felt like the show really kind of closed the circle and went like, all right, this is one kind of like pellet of TV show. Let's move into the second pellet of TV show now.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah, I will say, I don't think this was a bad ep by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it was a little anticlimactic with Megatron's return. Like, we all knew he was coming.
Yeah.
Ever since last week, we knew, you know, he's trapped in Bumblebee's body. We know he's going to come back. We see the preview. We know he's back. We see him announce, you know, this your rightful Decepticon leader or whatever. We see him get his body back midway through the episode. We know he's back. And then the final scene is, oh, he just transforms and drags Starscream away. I don't know. Like, it's certainly cool. Like, it was fine. I was kind of like, okay, well, I mean, I knew that was going to happen, so I don't know. I was hoping, I guess, it was my own expectations maybe playing against me, but when the end was over, it's like, oh, well, I mean, I knew that was going to happen, so.
Well, I'm not feeling quite the same way, but kind of stemming right off that, there was one disappointment I had with the episode, which was, I think this episode, more than any other, would have been the place where... Like, this episode basically had a fun moment, happy moment at the end in the Autobot base, boom, credits. I was really expecting, and I think this would have helped the episode a lot, if it was have that moment with Bumblebee and Raph, then cut to some just horrific teaser moment in the Decepticon warship, and then go credits. Just for the whole feel of the episode, I think that would have worked a bit better, to have it end on a bit of a sinister note rather than a kind of a happy note. I don't know. Like, this, I think, kind of maybe plays into that feeling you might have had about it, in that the end of the episode didn't really highlight Megatron when he was so much the crux of the last two-parter.
Yeah, it seemed to me like if we weren't 100% sure if Megatron was back and he just flew in and did that, I think that would have been a crazy, like, oh, crap moment. But it just, we knew it was going to happen, and it, like, Megatron was in the majority of the episode, so it just seemed a little anticlimactic when he's like, okay, like, I'm here, I'm going to drag you back, that's the end of the show. It's like, okay, well. But, I mean, whatever. It's a small complaint. It wasn't a bad episode by any means. It was just, I think, I think the first part of this little two-parter, I think, was the better episode.
I would agree. It was a bit more exciting. I mean, this one was very exciting, but also I realized right after I finished it, I loved the exciting parts, and all the excitement just kept building and building, but it was also confined to a very small part of the climax of the episode. And it almost felt kind of like that whole thing of Bumblebee with Megatron controlling him, just kind of like ground bridging to places. Almost felt like, all right, let's just get this. Okay, he's going to go here and get that. And then he's going to go here and do this. Let's just keep pushing. All right, let's keep pushing to the Megatron resurrection. Like, it kind of felt like the episode was kind of pushing itself along a bit. Like, can we just get to the cool part and then deliver all the cool stuff? And then the end minute or two was a little bit flat. Like I said, I think the episode would have ended a lot stronger if it was like that Bumblebee Raph moment and then some 30-second moment in, you know, the Decepticon warship showing Starscream about to have something horrible happen to him, then boom, credits, and let's go. You know, you feel a little bit more excited, but as you said also, it's a very, very minor qualm in what was certainly not a poor episode at all. But yeah, I forgot how we got to that point. Flashbacks. That's right. I'm just trying to think if there was anything else in the episode that really stuck out to me. But just running through my head, I mean, it all really just ties back into that series of action moments in the climax. There was one thing actually, which I thought was a nice bit of writing. Was, you know, they say they're going to go back to the Arctic, and RC makes many mentions about, you know, oh, we're going to go and freeze to death in the Arctic again. Awesome, you know, like. Referencing the Scrapplet episode. And I kind of liked that when they showed up in the Arctic and they were all just kind of walking through there fine, and even Raph was there kind of fine, and I was about to go like, hey guys, you remember that? And then they kind of step in and go like, wow, it feels like summer. Oh yes, it must be because of that giant solar laser shooting the ice cap. I was like, you know, that makes sense. So I like that they explained that away, kind of, by having the laser be a heat source. Little props to the writing team for that one.
Yeah, and even for me, mostly it was just the fact that they're back in the Arctic, so they mentioned the last time they're in the Arctic. It's like, even those are completely throwaway lines that don't add anything to the current story. That sense of continuity and feeling like these are characters that are experiencing these things in order like this, I think to me adds a greater sense of the fact that this is a universe instead of just an episode.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what I've been enjoying about throwback lines like that. And also the fact that they're throwback lines, but they're not like serialized throwback lines, which make you, like, they're not referencing things in a way where it's like, if you didn't watch the episode, you have no idea what they're talking about. Like, if someone watching this had never seen the Scrapplet episode, it would have just sounded like a throwaway of something that happened off screen. Like, remember the time we almost froze in the Arctic? Oh, yeah.
Right. It's like, it's those little touches that reward the people that have been following the series, but doesn't exclude anybody who's just hopping on board.
Right, which that's the right way to do those kind of arcing bits. You know, you get something that arcs too big and you have to have seen the last four episodes, but if you can just hang a couple of those lines out there, the people that have seen those previous episodes are like, oh, okay, and the people that haven't seen them get an idea that there's backstory going on, but it's not the big blaring thing. Yes, remember last week when we were stuck in the Arctic type of.
And then the Scrapplets almost ate us alive. One other little thing is, in that huge explosion that sent Bulkhead Breakdown and RC kind of flying across the ice pond they were on, I didn't really get exactly I guess Breakdown just ran off. Because he kind of just disappeared after all that. But again, really minor thoughts.
Oh, yeah. I apologize if somebody brought this up previously because my head has been kind of all over the place trying to multitask here. But when Bulkhead and Breakdown punched each other and it just caused that circular shockwave to go out and just cut through the ice.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Dang.
No, I mean, that was part of the huge excitement of that whole scene is like, what could have been a bit of a throwaway fight scene is like, no, this is exciting. Breakdown has a friggin' hammer for a hand. They punch their weapons and crack, the entire pond is blown open. It really makes you want to see them have a proper fight scene with no interruptions sometime down the road. And my first thought was also, I really hope Breakdown's toy somehow can have a deployable hammer hand. Or I'm going to be jonesing third parties for hammer hands. I guess one last thing, kind of stemming off, I mean, I am not annoyed by it, but you know, Gog, you mentioned the last thread, there's always going to be, right after we finish, someone who says, you know, why didn't you bring up this thing? So I thought of the most middling, tiny, pointless little thing to bring up for the sake of bringing it up.
Someone is going to thank you for this.
Did anyone notice?
No, and nothing against, hold on, nothing okay, against good. The people who are doing that. Like, I yeah. understand, but it's every single thread we've had a post that begins with, I'm very surprised you guys didn't mention ... Right. And sometimes it's really good points. Sometimes it's the most obscure, even just straight up opinion, someone's specific take on this, which I don't necessarily feel is obvious or even real, but it's, I mean, those are all good yeah. points. It's just, I wouldn't be surprised that we didn't bring it up myself.
Because as someone else in the thread yeah. said, the beauty of it is, if we didn't bring it up in the thread and we could discuss it. Because yeah. that's what the threads exactly. are for. But, okay, my tiny little niggling detail that I noticed, and I have no idea why I noticed this. So, at the beginning, we have last time on Transformers Prime, right? And they recap a bit of what happened in the last episode. Did anyone notice that when they revealed Megatron in Bumblebee's head, they actually ran that shot in reverse coming out of Bumblebee's eyes rather than going in them to reveal Megatron? So that was actually not a clip from last week's episode. That was a clip from last week's episode in reverse.
You know, I'm surprised I didn't mention that.
I am too.
And here I ran out of topics.
So
yeah, I completely missed it.
Yeah, I noticed it right away, and then right afterwards, I was like, I don't even know why I noticed that, but I did, so I better bring it up on our podcast. So, you know, I don't exactly know what there is to discuss about that, but that, dear listener, is what you can bring up in the thread, is exactly what we could discuss about the fact that the last week's episode recap used a reverse shot clip for the sake of a different dramatic reveal. So, yeah. Think about it. Anyway, I guess that we're otherwise pretty much done here. So, thank you all for listening. Thank you. What?
No pink, right? No pink?
Yeah, no pink. We brought that up.
Okay. God. I'm like 0 for 5. I quit.
So, thank you, Aaron, Gog, and Omegas for coming by. Thank you, dear listener, for listening to another installment of Prime Time. Very titillating episode. And we'll be back again with next week's, if it's running next week, which I'm pretty sure it is. So, until then, you know, keep your eyes to the skies. Let me know if stolen Chinese Prime toys show up. And we are Prime out!
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.